Let us pray. Gracious God, your commandments are not burdensome. Help us to hear with joy, to be changed in trust, and to live in faith, bearing your love in the world. In the name of Christ, amen. A reading from Acts. While Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who had heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for the baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. The word of life. Please join as we read responsively from the first letter of John. Everyone who trusts that Jesus is the Messiah has been born of God. We know we love God's children when we love God and follow God's commandments.
The love of God exists when we follow God's commandments.
God's commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God conquers the world. Who is it who conquers the world? Those who trust in Jesus, the only begotten of God, the word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from John's gospel in the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "As God has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in this love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept God's commandments and abide in God's love. I'm telling you this so that my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete." My commandment is this, that you love one another as I have loved you. There is no greater love than this, to lay down your life for your friends. You are my friends if you do what I have commanded you. I no longer call you slaves, subordinates, because the servant doesn't know what the master is doing. I call you my friends, because I reveal to you everything that God has revealed to me. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. So anything will be given to you that you ask for from God in my name. This is my commandment, that you love each other. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks be to God.
We're pretty familiar with language about Jesus as our Savior, as our Lord, and it's mostly pretty highfalutin language. Jesus is the second person of the Trinity, the Christ, the Messiah. Jesus is the embodied Word of God who was there at the beginning, who created. Jesus as this one who is the founder and the center of our religion. Even when we think about the earthly Jesus of Nazareth, he's still Jesus Christ, who did a lot of miracles and who died and rose again. Seems like this sort of cosmic kind of superhero figure. But Jesus never talked about himself like that. And he made a point of saying, I'm not calling you my slaves, my subordinates. Even though he talked about being their master teacher and they were his apprentices. By the end, he said, I'm calling you my friends. Sometimes we're not as familiar with that language of Jesus as a friend. He somehow seems like he ought to be a step above us. And it's kind of hard to think about how Jesus would be our friend because he's been gone a long time. And he doesn't come back and appear to us the way he did to those first disciples. But I think about my other friends. They also are a long way away. And some of them I have not seen for a long time. But when I call them to mind, they're present. They're still my friends. They're still an important part of my life. When you think of your best friends, imagine that Jesus' love is like that. Not the love of someone who's sort of reigning over all the earth and has a lot of people to love and it's part of his job description. But your best friend, somebody who knows you, who loves you, who knows all about you, including the really cool, wonderful parts that other people don't even know about, the really awful, embarrassing, shameful parts, knows them all and loves you for your sake, not for his. A companion on the long journey, a comrade in the hard work, a partner in your life. Imagine this kind of love of a best friend who would drive across the country to be there for you. The kind of person who says, you are in my heart and I love you and you're mine and I will be there for you. Imagine that kind of love. Imagine that we are given that kind of love to receive and also to give. To love one another as we have been loved, as that kind of friend. Imagine loving Jesus as that kind of friend. So often we're sort of in this habit of loving God because we're supposed to, or loving God because we have to. But what if we love God because we cared about God? We actually love Jesus because we like him. We care about him. We want things to go well for him. We ache when he's disappointed. We hurt when he's lonely. We feel the weight of it when he struggles for forgiveness and peace and reconciliation and healing in the world. Imagine that kind of loving God, loving Jesus for their sake, not for ours. Seems like the center of our spiritual journey is learning to love others and get over ourselves for their sake. Let me tell you about Roger. Roger has been working at this firm for years with a whole bunch of people. It's one of those places where they all have their cubicle and they all run into each other and they're all a part of each other's lives. And there's this guy named Chris that he works with who is a total jerk. And he doesn't like him. And they've had some harsh words. They've conflicted a lot. Chris has a kind of jagged personality. He sets a lot of people in the office off. And Roger would just as soon that Chris either change or leave, but there he is. And he struggles with this guy that he just doesn't like. Roger was complaining about Chris once in the presence of a friend of his who remembered that thing that Christians sometimes say, but he got it backwards. You know that thing sometimes we say, well, you have to love your neighbor, but you don't necessarily have to like them? Well, he got it backwards, and he said, well, even if you don't love him, can you like him? And Roger thought that that was pretty stupid. And then his friend, who wasn't really a Christian, said another thing that was even stupider. He said, like Jesus? And the thing that was stupid about that is that Roger, for a moment, couldn't tell whether what his friend meant was that he should like Chris like Jesus would like Chris, or if he was supposed to like Jesus, Chris being Jesus. He was pretty sure that that's not what his friend meant, but once that little confusion got in his head, he couldn't get it out. That maybe God was asking him to treat Chris as if Chris were his friend, as if he liked him. He couldn't stand the idea, because he couldn't stand Chris. And he realized right away that the hardest thing about that would not be Chris. It would be the humility that he would have to love his neighbor in the same way that he had been loved. Roger had to realize that maybe there are times when he sort of upset Jesus, and Jesus loved him anyway. He wrestled with that for a while, and then he finally decided that it was probably right. So that next day, he went in to the office, and he went over to Chris's cubicle, and it was a total disaster. And Roger realized that that was all right. That he wasn't trying to get Chris to like him. He was just trying to reach out to Chris as a human being and connect with him. And imagine that same kind of care that God had for him, that he would have for this guy. To see him as a real person who was maybe hurting, maybe struggling, maybe didn't know the right thing to do. Maybe he was a total jerk. But Roger had to remember some of his friends who liked him even when he was a jerk. And at that moment he realized that it was like his friend had said, not only that he needed to like Chris like Jesus would like Chris, he needed to like Jesus. That if he couldn't love Chris, then he didn't love Jesus. He realized how hard that would be, and at the same time, he realized for the first time ever in years of working at that office with all those people that maybe they could be friends. And if not, it didn't matter because the love was there in Roger anyway. And it didn't depend on the other person. It was just there for his sake no matter what. He wasn't trying to get something out of it. And as soon as he realized that, he was free. He realized that this commandment to love others as he had been loved was not burdensome. It was a release. And for the first time, he knew those words of Jesus. I'm giving you this commandment so that my joy can be in you and your joy will be complete. The story's not over. Roger's still working on that. But it's a gift. It's a joy. We'll have to check back in in a while, see how Roger's doing. But this we know. The commandments of God are not burdensome. To love one another as we have been loved is nothing but a gift. Will you pray with me? God, we give thanks for the love that you show us in Jesus, that claims us, the love that is faithful to us no matter what. Fill us with your love so that we might also be filled with your joy. God, for your infinite love, we give you thanks. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.